Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here on another Blog Talk session, Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we are very thankful to be able to get into the Word of the Lord, say what thus saith the Lord one more time. So it's a blessing to be able to be here. So we thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and Twitter followers and listeners, all of our friends and listeners, all of our Facebook followers and listeners, and our LinkedIn followers and listeners. Thank God for you. And so my ongoing question is so imperative that you receive the Holy Ghost. So that's why I ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So that's a good question, because you got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to get out of here. You got to have the water baptism in the name of Jesus. You have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives you to utter, Acts 2 and 4, just like they did beginning on the day of Pentecost. And we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. They were already saved, just like I aforementioned. They were already baptized in the name of Jesus. They were already filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. So we thank God for that. So as we move on, I believe I have a call, so we're going to try to get that as we move on. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm listening to your show with my father. He's a pastor, and he wanted me to call in so he could say hi and talk to you about some things that he is doing right now over here in Missouri.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so, yeah, I hadn't even given out my number yet, but, no, you're fine. I just happened to look up and see someone call, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Well, his name's Howard. We all call him Pastor Howard, so I'll put him on the line with you real quick.
Okay, all right, okay.
Sure. Go ahead, Dad.
Let me explain what's going on. Jews are crafty people.
Pardon?
This matzah, they sell it like it's nothing. Do you know in Israel, They are making a nuclear bomb out of matzah.
Well, there's things going on all over the place, that's for sure. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, things are going on because time is short. So that's, yeah, today I was talking about the churches in Asia, you know, which in the book of the Revelation, the first three chapters, these things are going on where we're going to talk about some things on today. And then, you know, in the fourth chapter, that's the rapture of the church. So, there, yeah, there are many things going on letting us know that time is drawing nigh. It's time to get out of here. You know, it's not a. It's not going to be. We're in spiritual warfare right now, but God is going to literally pour out His wrath after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, when the economy is going to prosper like never before, and when the Antichrist sits in the temple of God, showing Himself that He is God. That's when the Jews are going to realize that they've been deceived. The abomination of desolation. What that's called.
Thou shalt not worship false idols.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know what it is nowadays, where people are worshiping, just like Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold to one and despise the other. And He went on to say, you cannot serve God and Mammon. And Mammon is money. People are greedy of filthy lucre. They are greedy of money. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. So, yeah.
Why do you have a big nose? That's where they hide their money.
Well,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, some things we can't, God did, and that is the Jews have the money and the Arabs have the oil. I mean, these things, that, you know, their blessing, God's blessing was on them. Period. And I mean, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He called them, the nation, the Jews, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel initially, and he gave them the oracles of God, and He's not going to repent. That's what, you know, Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So He's not going to repent of that. But they didn't accept Him as the Messiah, as a nation. So that's God's art against them. Because He came,
well,
you know, the gospel
Jew
of the kingdom.
Seinfeld that everyone's worshiping. Seinfeld is full of demonic subliminal messages, and our young people are buying into this.
Yes. Yeah, so many things they're buying into. That's why we have to start with them when they're little, because there's just so much out there, you know, in the world. So much.
Bindi Irwin. Yeah, Bindi rhymes with Mindy, and that's a Jew name.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yep, so I thank you for your call. And so
Why do these Jews take off their foreskin? These questions need to be answered. Why do these Jews take off their foreskin?
See, at that time things were required, but now the Word of God circumcises the heart. You know, in the book of Romans it tells us He is not a Jew, which is one inwardly, but He goes on to let them know what a Jew is. You know, in your heart, the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When it's heard, it'll pierce your heart, and it circumcises your heart. So He's not worried about the covenant that He had with the Jews. The covenant that He had with the Jews, that's with the Jews. That's not with us. So that's the difference right there.
Do you know that snails have both sexual organs? Now, that's gay.
Snails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But anyway, I thank you for your call, and I'm going to move on in my lesson. So,
they're so crafty, they're taking their dingleberries and building army tanks and forming their own army of dingleberries.
Things are going on. All right, Pastor, I thank you for your call, and I'm going to move on in my lesson on today, so you can call back in. So I thank you. I'm going to get going
here. I've got to battle this.
All sin, all unrighteousness.
Need your financial support.
All unrighteousness is sin. Whether you're a liar, a thief, adultery, all of that is in the same category. I mean, it's like I tell people, like that 5-4 decision on the same-sex marriage that the Supreme Court made could have went either way. That's why it was so close. Because, you know, 5 were for it. and four opposed it. So it was very close.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we thank you for your call. I got to move on in my
you
lesson.
You know that chipmunks are actually gay squirrels.
Yeah, no, I didn't. But like I said, I thank you for your call, and I got to move on in my lesson. I got to move on in my lesson. So call back in another time, and I thank you.
These homosexuals would have you believe that Jesus was a transgender Jew.
So I got to go on in my lesson here. So thanks for your call.
What do you get?
So the Lord ought and rebuke at that time. So today what we're going to talk about is the churches in Asia. So we thank the pastor in Missouri for his call, but we're not going to, we got to move on. We have a lesson to do. So we thank God for all of you, all of our listeners. And should you desire to call in, you can, 646-716-6566. Our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. So we must move on in our lesson. So, and I made a quote on last week. I want to correct. I had made mention about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's, I had said Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But Romans 6:23 is the one that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I just wanted to make that correction, because sometimes you, if you quote a scripture, and sometimes people are trying, they want to find out where the scripture is. So we want to make that known, that they can do that. So thank God for that. And I think I have another call. Go ahead, caller.
And I'm going to hope that if I scare you enough, that you're going to
No, you're not scaring
me.
I'm going to move on in my lesson. I'm going to move on in my lesson. So I'm not going to be sidetracked, because this is my broadcast. I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. But comments and questions are welcome. But I'm not going to be taken off of my subject. So we're talking about the churches in Asia. We're going to be coming out of the book of the Revelation. And also, our theme, the Godhead, the one God. So the God of Israel is the God of the church. He is the same creator that was back there in the beginning. Before the mountains were brought forth, ever thou hast formed the world and the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Moses quote out of the 90th Psalm. So he is the eternal God that they talked about in Deuteronomy. He's our refuge and strength. He's the present help in trouble. He's going to thrust the enemy through. So God is not playing, so he's going to judge the world. So people thinking, I had heard a thing, people thinking that because there was a financial meltdown, what happened in the 08, there's going to be another one. Yeah, it's going to be. That's not the judgment of God. God is going to judge the world. Period. Not just money. You're not going to be safe because their currency is going to be taken off the market. We're going into a one-world government. So we got to get ready for it. So that's what all of these things are all about, these chips and the credit cards and all. And 13th chapter of Revelation lets you know the three-digit number that you got to have. You can't buy or sell that you take the mark or the number or the name. You worship the beast. You do that, then you're doomed. You're lost forever. So you got to give your head. So the thing to do right now is today is the day of salvation. As in the provocation of the wilderness, that's what the writer mentioned. He's referring back to in the 95th Psalm. Says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So today is the day of salvation. I believe in the third chapter of Hebrews, he's making mention of the 95th Psalm. So you hear his voice. What is his voice? His voice is his word. So the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost is still applicable today. That is the one baptism, water and spirit, as he was making known, talking to the master of Israel, who was in the person of Nicodemus. Art thou a master of Israel? And you don't know these things. So he's letting him know about the new birth. So it's revealed unto the apostles. So we have to do what they say. Salvation is in the book of Acts. So that's what we have to do today, is repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you got to repent. Same message that John the Baptist preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we thank God on the day that we're here and we're moving on in the word of the Lord from our subjects that we were talking about. We have been talking about fellowship. Then we were talking about the warnings that Apostle Peter was telling us about the last couple weeks, you know, contending for the faith and having faith. So we got to have faith in God. So today we're moving on. So we're talking about the churches in Asia. So what is it? These are the church ages. The first three chapters of the book of the Revelation. The fourth chapter, the church is in heaven looking back on the earth. And everything else all the way up to the 19th chapter, the church is going to come back when he's going to fight. And his name is called the Word of the Word of God. And this is the reference when he's going to come back and stand on the Mount of Olives and crack it in half. That valley is going to be open. God's going to kill people. And blood is going to be up to the horses' bridles, 200 miles long. So God is not playing. So time for us to get ready to get out of here. This word is not to be debated, but the word of God is to be believed. So like I said, that's why I welcome cause. I'm not going to be debating over what an animal sex is and all this stuff. That's not my subject, and I'm not going to be taking off going on and on and on with that. I'm in charge. I'm going to present my lesson that I'm going through on today, not going to be taken off. So I have nothing against nobody, but I understand that sometimes you have things like that will distract. I'm not going to be distracted. So here we are talking here in the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You notice in the Bible at the top, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. No, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. John, we call him John the Revelator. He was given so much revelation. He was the one who leaned on Jesus' bosom. He was a young man. So he's put out, and you know, we're going to find out what the mission was right here as we read through. But anyway, he wrote, St. John, as we would call it, he wrote the first, second, and third epistle of John, and he wrote the Revelation. So this is where our lesson is deriving from today. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, the one we just got to talk about, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, so this is written to John. We call him John the Revelator. He is the Apostle John, or St. John. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So this is what we're talking about on today, the churches in Asia. So these are churches, and it typifies church ages. And you have to get all the way to Laodicea to get where we are today. But I don't know if we're going to get there today, if we're going to reach that or not. We'll have to just continue. So So he says, the John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. That's God in all his glory. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So he did a lot of things and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So this, you know, people showing all of these, they seeing things in the clouds. They put it on Facebook and a lot of things, look like an angel and all that, or what they say is Jesus. And all. That's not what this is talking about at all. When he comes to rapture or to catch away the church, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he's talking about we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. And the dead, you know, are going to be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And he goes on to talk about it. But in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the rapture of the church. It's like he says, we're going to be changed. How is it going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So it's going to be so fast. Everyone's going to be gone. What a change that is going to be. Because the dead in Christ are going to be raised. Dead in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. I think that's in St. John, the 5th chapter, I believe. So, excuse me, there's a lot going to be going on. So that's the appearing. But the second coming, he's going to come in the clouds. Every eye is going to see him. They that pierced him, that's what he's talking about. They're going to see the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And the book of Zechariah, they're going to ask the question, when did you get those? He's going to let them know, I was wounded in the house of my friend. So in other words, you want to be with him. When the Lord, no man knows the day or the hour, we will, because we're going to be with him when he's going to come back to the earth. That's the 24th chapter of Matthew, talking about Petra and fleeing to the mountains and all of that. Only way you can do that, you got to be on horseback. So that's literally talking about his second coming, and that is talking to the Jews in the 24th chapter of Matthew. So anyway, we go here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So what you got to realize here, this is what John saw. And we're going to go on and clarify it and substantiate. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And when what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Those are the seven churches. And I turned to see the voice. He turned to see the voice that I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, Ancient of Days, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Remember on last week when I made mention that if you going west around sunset time, that so many hours when the sun is before the sun sets and you're going west, and you have to have a sun visor, you have to have shades and everything else, because you cannot look at the sun. And so the glory of God is brighter than the noonday sun. That's the brightest it can be, is at noonday. So that's the point that I'm making. So this is what John saw. He said, and he had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So you know who that is? That is Jesus. So the body of God, he made himself a body. So Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. You got to understand, the last chapter, he says, Jesus sent my angel to testify these things. I am the root and the offspring of David. He's the bright and morning star. So he is all of these things. You can't contain God. He can never be what he is, not when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He's everywhere, every place, everywhere, here, now, there. God come to you, leave you, and ain't gone nowhere. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth on the behalf of those who have a perfect heart toward him. So even darkness is light unto him. That's why the psalmist says, whither shall I go? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, if I take the wings of the morning, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, even thou art there. You're talking about in the grave, you're there. So in other words, you can't hide from him. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere and every place. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. And he's omnipotent. That means he has all power. So we write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So notice that, things that you've seen, the things which are right now, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery, a mystery is a hidden truth. A mystery is hidden. So he goes on here, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That means they were the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we move on here. He told John to write. So we go on. This is a continuation. So he's unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. This is our tags on the day. What we want to talk about is four words. This is the Lord Jesus, what he said. I know thy works. So this is what he's starting off. I know thy works, comma, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Remember, you've been listening to me over time. You heard me mention about there are no apostles today. So you had to be chosen. The Lord chose the apostles, the 12 in the Gospels. He says the 12 whom he called apostles. So we know the word apostle means sent forth. So there's some qualifying that you had to do with that. He called them. They were eyewitnesses. He taught them himself. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they died horrible deaths, all except for this one man, John. He was put in Isle of Patmos. He had to do this writing of the things which he saw. So these things, he says, they're going to shortly come to pass. So it's not going to be long. So time is winding up, and this is what we're trying to let people know. So we move on here. And so John, he was the last apostle to die. They tried to boil him in oil. They put him out there. They thought the beasts and the vipers and all would eat him up. But no, he was out there for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. So you can't hinder. You can try to hinder, but you can't destroy what God has. No devil in hell can thwart the purpose of God, because God is going to, his counsel is going to stand. He is going to do all of his pleasure, just like he said that he would. So, yeah, the enemy is, like somebody said, the devil is the devil, and he will fight. So we go on here. He says that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. It's amazing. Like I said, today there are no apostles. There's 12 apostles of the Lamb. Their names in the 12 foundations in the new holy city, Jerusalem. Their names are in the foundations. 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are none today. Of course, there were more during that time, but there are 12 that names are in the foundations in this holy city, the new Jerusalem. So it's just their job. So we're built upon Ephesians 2 and 20. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And one of the signs of being an apostle, like I said, I made mention about the signs, that you had to see the Lord. Apostle Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me. So he saw him, he taught by him also. So their job was to lay the foundation. That's what we're built upon, along with being taught, being eyewitnesses. So there are none today. So I don't know, these people, it's amazing how some people try to say that they're an apostle. So then, they're above bishops and God is working. I mean, of course God is bigger than four walls. That's ridiculous to even say that. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Where's the ends of the earth at? Don't nobody know. No man does. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. He don't faint. He's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He give power to the faint. We're talking about the creator of the ends of the earth. Did them that had no mighty increase strength, and you shall faint and be weary? No, young men shall utterly fall. The writer Isaiah goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you got to understand. So he says, thou and hast borne them that have and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Else I will come unto thee and quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Why is that? But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this is okay. That's the message to the church at Ephesus. So we go on the next message, unto the church, the angel of the church in Smyrna. Write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's talking about Jesus in his sonship. He was dead, but he's alive forevermore. How did he die? He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So he died not as a spirit, but he died as a man. So he says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, the second death is the lake of fire. 20th chapter of Revelation, you'll see that. Whosoever name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is, John said, the second death. So you don't want to, if you die, you're born again, you only die once. So what I mean by born again, being water baptized, repenting of your sins, be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, that is water and spirit, that is the new birth, as the Spirit gives utterance. So you're born again, you only die once, because it's and Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So judgment must begin at us, Peter said. Remember I made mention on, I believe, last week, if it first began at us, what shall the end of be of those that obey not the gospel of God? And he went on to say, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? He's talking about the righteous going to have their difficulty. That's what he's saying, scarcely be saved. So you're born again, you only die once, because you're going to die physically unless you're raptured away. We're not going to all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, Apostle Paul says, and we shall be changed. What is he talking about? The ones who are alive and remain. So you get your body is going to go back to the dust. He's redeeming our soul from the power of the grave. So corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Mortal is going to put on immortality. So, he says, when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be but to pass the saying that is written. It's in the book of Hosea, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. Paul goes on to say, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, Hebrews 10, not the 10th chapter, but anyway, he says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, I believe 6:10, Hebrews, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God is faithful. So we go on here with the ought. He says, under the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So I said he died as a man. We're talking about the Son of God here. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that are Jews, say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which ye shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So that's where I'm kind of going back over again, okay, because we made mention about what the second death was. Under the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful murderer, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So what is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Because he's talking about the Nicolaitans. They were some horrible people. So he goes on here, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving or except he that receiveth it. Under the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. This is what we made mention on before. Remember, he was saying in the book of Hebrews, lest there be a fornicator or a profane person as Esau. You know, he says who he sought carefully with tears for repentance, and he couldn't find it, because God has to give you repentance. So but we always try to let you know, Scripture will support Scripture, like he's saying here about Jezebel. He gave her the space to repent, and she didn't. She repented not, is what that means. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. The churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh keepeth my works until the end. To him will I give power over the nations. So, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall be broken to shrivers, even as I received of my father. I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we're moving on here. So unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shed it. Thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and has not denied my name. So what's going on now? Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. He says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So that's bad. I mean, if your conscience is seared in hot iron, that is reprobate concerning the faith. You don't know right from wrong. That's in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. So he goes on here, speaking lies and hypocrisy. This is in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. So, see, some people, they forbid, they don't, you know, marriage is until death do you part. I mean, there, some people are free to be married. Every case has to be judged by its own merits. I mean, I don't believe all these people walking around, been married numbers of times, are still in the church, and they're, the people they were married to, they married to some, all these different people married to somebody else, and they're still living. I mean, something's wrong with that picture. That doesn't make sense. Something's wrong, because you got to be free to be able to get married again, and death is certainly one of them. And I mean, like I said, every case is judged by its own merits. But he says, forbidding to marry, so remarrying, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So we know people are vegans and all of this. I mean, fine. I mean, you don't want to eat meat, you don't have to, but you can't make that a doctrine where it's a sin for someone else to eat meat just because you don't eat meat. That is your choice. So he goes on here. What does he say about that? He said, forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from meats. So these people are going to do this in the last days, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, nothing be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. It is, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So like I said, I think on before, about blessing your food. You know, some people are ashamed to bless their food. And I was making mention about if you ever got food poison, your body is rejecting that. Thank God for it. I mean, it's coming out. It's coming out of you. And you'll probably get you dehydrated. You just have to be rehydrated again. But God made the body. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So that's one thing. You're rejecting that you get when you get food poison. So he goes on here. He's talking about they have kept the word of you kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come on all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. So we got to do that. You know, we got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. So he goes on here, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is what I made reference to. The city had foundations. So these 12 foundations are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That office, there is no office of the apostles today. So this is, I've given the scriptures, said what they, I've done that before, what their job was. They were sent, they were called, they were sent forth. They were personally taught by the Lord. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They died. They were eyewitnesses. They died horrible deaths, except for the Apostle John. So we're going on here. I don't think we're going to get this far, but we're just moving on here. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. This is the last church age right here, what we're in right now. And this is literally, this is the age we are in today. So unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So God's spitting them out. So in other words, some people don't, they're cold. They're in their own way, they're lukewarm. I mean, they're just going through the motions. They don't realize, and he's going to go on here, let them know, they're not aware of the state that they're in, is the point being. But thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And he says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me a gold tried in the fire. That's your faith. Thou mayest be rich in white raiment. That's the righteousness of God. And thou mayest be clothed with his righteousness, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be there, zealous therefore, and repent. Now here's how much the Lord thinks of his people, even today. He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is so very important, the age that we're in, the age people in this age are unaware. So he's talking about how they were in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, how they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, in the days of Lot, in the days of Noah. What was going on? So people are going to be eating and drinking. They do that. But the point being, and I'm not talking about drinking alcohol. Folks are doing that too. They're not aware. But I mean, real child of God, you don't drink alcoholic beverages. I've been saved for August was 39 years. I don't drink. I haven't had a drink since I got filled with the Holy Ghost. So I don't have a desire for that. I drink enough wine and liquor and rum and gin and vodka and beer to dive in and drown. That's how much I drink. So, I mean, I don't do that because I have the new wine. But the point being, you got to be aware of what's going on. So people think, so he's talking about when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, the same Timothy that I just read out of, he went on to let him know, you know, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he went on to let him know, thou man of God, follow after charity and all these things he was saying, you know, and talking about them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he says, he's letting him know, he's given us richly, God has given us richly all things to enjoy, but he wants us to lay hold on eternal life. So the things, like we try to let people say, when he wrote to his second letter in Corinthians, that the things which you see are temporal and the things which are not seen are eternal. So we got to build our hopes on things eternal. Sure, there's nothing wrong with having things. You need things. Nothing wrong with nice things. You can get what you can afford. You work, you can get what you can afford. Nobody can name out and try to say crazy stuff about cars that people drive because they can't afford one. You don't know what people have and what kind of inheritance people have. That's none of our business to be trying to, you know, to condemn someone what they have. You have what you have. Godliness with contentment, he said, is great gain. It's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. That has nothing to do with it. If you got a job, you can get a house, you can get a car. I mean, this stuff that people say, you can get things that you need. If you got money, you can get. You got credit, you can get. So the thing being is what you have to be aware of in this hour, this late hour before the Lord takes his church out of the earth, is your heart. It's got to be right. So he even said back in the book of Psalms, if riches increase, set not your heart on it, which means don't set your heart on it if riches increase. Because Apostle Paul let Timothy know, we didn't bring nothing in this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. That's why he was saying with food and raiment, let us be therewith content. He didn't say don't try to better yourself. And he said godliness with contentment is great gain. So it has nothing to do with what you have and what you don't have. Of course we're living better. We want to do better than our forefathers. They had to go outside to go to the bathroom. You imagine that? Could go to the outhouse at night to go to the bathroom or the restroom, as we would say. So we thank God today for his word, and we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And I want my ongoing question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.